chapter 2. First John chapter 2. We're slowly making our way through First John. First John chapter 2, and we will be reading verses 15 through 27. So 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. People of God, this is God's very word. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. And there ends the reading of God's Word this morning. May the Holy Spirit use it to bless our lives. Well, as we started up our back into 1 John, we took a few weeks off for Christmas and New Year's, and we've reached a new section in the letter that John wrote to this church. And as we've seen, as we've gone through, there's three major themes that keep coming up in the letter of John. Sometimes it sounds like John is talking in circles, but really, he's trying to get us to understand the truth. Right? Like any good teacher, repetition is what we need, isn't it? It's key for us to learning these truths. It's key for us to holding on to these things that John is teaching us. And we're about to see the third theme come up in the letter. We've seen two so far. The first theme that we saw was the true Christian walks in light. If we remember, God walked in light. God is light. And in God there was no darkness. And we walk with God now. Now we'll see the second one, or we have seen the second one, that we love the Lord. And not only do we love the Lord, we love His Son. Now we see the third one. The true Christian is someone who understands the truth of the gospel. The true Christian is the one who will see the counterfeit coming a mile away and know that it's false. And that's what we're going to see in our text this morning. John strives to let us know what the true Christian is. One that has fellowship with the Father and the Son. One that has fellowship with the apostolic teaching. And one that had fellowship with the universal church. So as we go through the rest of this letter, we'll see all three of these start to intertwine. So don't think that John's just a very old man talking over in circles. He's not. He's trying to get us to learn these lessons. In our text this morning, we'll see how to understand the truths of the gospel. He's going to show us this in three ways. The first way is, do not love the world or the things in the world. Second is, deception of the last hour. And the third is, does the truth still abide in you? So those are our three points this morning. Do not love the world. Deceptions in the last hour. And does the truth still abide? Because, beloved, if the truth still abides in you, you will not have a problem when deceptions come in this last hour. And you will want nothing to do with the world, for you'll know that the world is passing away. So point one, as we start a new section of this letter, we come to the first imperative of the letter of 1 John. Think about that. We're almost to the end of chapter 2, and he hasn't given us one command yet. But here it is. He gives us the first command in a letter. And what's the command? Do not love the world. He commands us not to love the world. You would have thought that John would have commanded us to love. This letter is full of the word love, isn't it? Over and over again, he tells us to love. Love the Father, love the Son, love the teaching. But the first thing he commands us to is don't love. Right? As you go through the letter, you'll see that the word love and derivatives of it happen 51 times in 5 chapters. 51 times John tells us to love, love. And the only time he tells us not to love is right here. And what are we not supposed to love? The world. Think about that. That should make you scratch your head a little bit. Wait a second, John. You wrote in your gospel that we should love the things God loves. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you're thinking, we found it. We found a contradiction in Scripture. No, we didn't find a contradiction in Scripture. What's John trying to tell us here? See, the Scripture has mysteries in it. The Scripture has paradoxes in it. But the scripture does not have contradictions. So our problem is, what is John trying to get across with a word? And that word is world. And if you read through John's writings, the Gospel of John, in his letters, and even in Revelation, John uses the word world in many ways. And it's confused a lot of people over time. This word world, in the Greek is cosmos, where we get cosmos, where you think of the universe, we think of space. But John also uses this word for the planet Earth. He uses this word world to speak of humanity. And here, he uses this word world to point us to false philosophies, false ideologies, false lifestyles, values, even false religions. So when we read through John and we see this word world, we need to stop and go, okay, what's he really talking about here? John Calvin writes that how he uses the word world here is, this is the godless world that is totally at variance with God and his will. That's how he's using the word here. It's actually the thing that fights against God and his people. In the West, we see this all the time, don't we? We're seeing this system fight against God and his kingdom. Trying to destroy the church. St. John commands us never to fall in love with this. These false philosophies, these false ideologies, false lifestyles, these false religions. Because if you do, John tells us that the love of the Father is not in you. And that places you outside of his love. If you love the world, you cannot love the Father, John tells us. You cannot serve two masters. We've heard that before. Jesus has taught us this. And now John's going to describe what he means by these false philosophies, these false ideologies. Verse 16, John writes, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." So the one thing that I hope is fairly obvious is that those things are sinful. And sin is something that we just can't ignore. See, sin, you might not think of it this way, but sin is actually out to get you. See, sin looks to find you. Remember what God told Cain, all the way in the very beginning. Remember the story? Cain and Abel give offerings to God. God accepts Abel's offering and turns away from Cain's offering. And Cain walks off and pouts. And he's sitting down. And God goes and finds Cain. Because that's what God does. He goes and finds. But when he finds Cain, what does he tell Cain? He says this. He says, "Sin lies at the door. And its desire is to have you. But you should rule over it." You see that? Its desire is to have you. Remember for the law reading this morning? The desire of wanting other people's stuff. The desire, that lust that we have for other people's things. That word that John uses is almost always used in the negative. This lust. See, these things, these are the things that aren't of the Father. John tells us they are of the world. And the first one we see is this lust of the flesh. This is a desire of physical things. Martin Luther writes, "The lust of the flesh is that pleasure with which I desire to indulge in my flesh, adultery, fornication, gluttony, ease, and sleep." That last one hurt me the most. Sleep. I love sleep. Ah. The thing that I really want us to grasp here is that these are things that we're fighting from within ourselves, aren't we? That lust of the flesh. That indwelling sin that's still there. We need to overcome these eternal desires, don't we? These eternal lusts. Because they just want to kill you, beloved. They just want what's worse for you, to take you away from God. Take you away from Jesus and His Word. But we have the answer, don't we? This is what the Apostle Paul says. The best way to fight against the lust of the flesh, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision of the flesh to gratify its desires. We've heard that over and over again, haven't we? See, these are the benefits of the gospel at work in you. See, when you come to Christ, you take off the old man and you put on the new. You put on Christ. You put on the ability to fight against the lust of the flesh. See, the fight doesn't end there, does it? John reminds him of another thing that they have to fight against. The next thing he says, the lust of the eyes. So John goes from fighting within to fight within, then to fight the things that are on the outside. Think of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about this very thing. Jesus says this, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" See, it's through the eyes that we covet, isn't it? It's through the eyes that we see things we shouldn't see. And instead of looking away, we kind of like slowly look away. It was through the eyes which led Eve to sin in the garden. But she saw that the tree was good for food. It was the delight of the eyes to look at that fruit. See, the devil hasn't stopped using that trick since the very beginning. If I could just get him to look at it, he says. If I could just get him to lock their gaze onto that, oh, I got him. And John says, no. The lust of the eyes is of the world. And finally, he tells us to get rid of the pride of life. And that sounds vague, doesn't it? The pride of life. Well, what is he talking about? And that word that he uses for life here is used all over Scripture for possessions. The pride of possessions. That's what we talked about last week. If you were here, remember James talked about possessions, having boasting about what we have. You know, telling God that, you know what, God, I got this. Don't worry about it. Leave it up to me, God. Look what I've already done, God. I don't need your help in this one. Right? That's the sin of arrogant boasting in yourself. That's this pride of life. That's the world, beloved. They don't need anybody. They can do this. They literally say those things. See, where's our life right now? Do we take pride in what we have? Do we take pride in what we've done? Is our focus on us? Or is it on the only thing that can get us out of all of this mess? The Lord Jesus Christ. Are these things our heart's desires, or is it Jesus? That's what John's asking us here. To the things that the world wants. See, that's where their devotion's at. See, we're either defined by those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or we're defined by Jesus Christ. Because we're found in Him. Because the things of the world, John tells us, the Father is not in them. All the things of the world take us away from the Lord. What does John tell us in verse 17? That all these things are passing away. Verse 17 says, and the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Why love things that are here today and gone tomorrow? It's an honest question. Why put effort into things of the world that we know aren't from God? Do we have desires to the things of this world? If we do, John says the love of the Father isn't in us. And that should scare us to death. Because we want to be where God's love is. See, there's something different about true Christians. So we know this world isn't going to last. We know this isn't our home. The world's passing away. We know that. All of it will be gone. But he says, to those who do the will of God, he who does the will of God will abide forever. That's where we want to be. When this whole world comes crumbling down, when this whole world comes to a big wasteland, where are we going to be? With Jesus. In the kingdom forever. And this leads us to our second point this morning. Deceptions of the last hour. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. See, John's telling us in verse 17 that the world's passing away. And in verse 18, he says, it's the last hour. Sounds like John's pretty convinced. The end is here. And then you tell yourself, he wrote that 2,000 years ago. What's he trying to tell us? Why does he use this term, the last hour? Right. Sometimes hours feel long, don't they? If you're a student, if you ever sat in a class you didn't like, and you looked at the clock, and you go, oh, 1 hour left. And it just ticks so slow. Right? Hours take a long time. Sometimes you're sitting at church. during my sermons. Oh no, don't feel that way. That's a long hour. So what is John telling us here for this hour? This is a really long hour. It's been 2,000 years. But see, Jesus used this term as well. Jesus told his mom one time that my hour is not yet come. Another place he tells us that there would be an hour when he would pour out his spirit. John tells us this is the last hour. Peter and Paul use a different term, the last days. Beloved, they all mean the same thing. These are all synonyms. Ever since Christ rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, we are living in the last hour. We are living in the last days. And if it is the last hour, why would we be surprised if the Antichrist showed up? That shouldn't surprise us. God's word tells us that. Paul uses a different term, the man of lawlessness. See, by the time John is writing this letter, there's already been false teachers going throughout churches teaching false doctrine. See, the Apostle Paul even told the church of Ephesus, one day wolves are going to come. Jesus warned the same thing. So though our text tells us that a Antichrist is coming, John switches it a little bit. Did you catch it? John warns us of Antichrists. He pluralizes it. And that shows us we're in the last hour. John tells us later in verse 26 that these antichrists do one thing. The things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. See, it's the enemy's job to deceive you. That's what they do. Those who are against Christ try to deceive you. Do you know what hurts more than the enemy trying to deceive you? It's when friends try to deceive you. Or when family tries to deceive you. When someone that's supposed to be family goes out of their way to deceive you, that hurts. And that's what John's talking about here in verse 19. These deceivers, these antichrists, they weren't from the outside. They were from the inside. Verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. See, these antichrists, these ones trying to deceive the church, were from inside. These people were taught the same things we're taught. But then they didn't like it. And they started to twist it. Because they wanted it to think about it their way. They saw what Scripture said and said, well, I just don't know. But if you say it this way, oh yeah. See, John tells us this new false teaching that they were trying to push in the church. In verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. What's scary about that is it was coming from inside the church. Denying that Jesus was the Christ. What? If you deny one, the Son, you deny the Father. You can't have it. These are basic Christian doctrines that we should all hold on to. So when they do, when people do come in and start to switch these around, we should say, no, we know the truth. That doesn't sound right to us. See, don't think that this deception stopped in the first century when John wrote this letter. See, we live in the same last hour, don't we? The last hour hasn't ended from when John wrote his letter to today, this morning, 2023, still in the last hour. And many in the church still believe these deceptions. I mean, think of the Trinity. Many, many in the church around the world, oh, we don't believe in the Trinity anymore. Think of the virgin birth. Psh, virgin birth. Science, everyone, science. Can't happen. These are people in the church. Christ miracles. Well, Christ didn't really walk on the water. And these are the things we have to look out for. These are the things these antichrists are trying to deceive inside the church. Well, this is what John is telling us. If you don't believe these historical Christian doctrines, you are of the antichrist. These are liars. They do not know the gospel. Because if you lose the Son, you lose everything that goes along with it. And that includes the Father. That includes salvation. And one of the saddest things as I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking about it. And I thought about the world just laughing at the church because of this. You know, I'd be thinking, why? Why does the world laugh at the church? Because see, the world knows that those in the church are actually denying what's in their book, their own book. Scripture tells us that even demons and Satan agree that what's in this book is true. They don't believe it, but they know it's true. And we have a world full of Christians who say, oh yeah, I believe in the Bible, but maybe not that part. And that part over there, no. You should look at it this way. See, they start to squirm when you tell them that this is what the Word of God says. This is truth. And either these false believers get their way and churches change, or praise be to God, like in John's church, they left. They were out of there. They couldn't handle the truth anymore. See, I'm not talking about cults like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm talking about the Church of Christ. Christian churches. Oh yeah, I go to church. See, there are Christian churches that are fighting against God's word today. And John wants us to open our eyes to that. Don't be blinded when the evil one comes in and tries to deceive us. That's what John's telling his church here. You know, one pastor said this, that the church is in worse shape now than it was right before the Reformation. Think of that. Now, going back to what John said, he tells us, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. See, these antichrists were never really Christians to begin with. See, they were part of the visible church, but they were never counted on the rolls of heaven. That's some scary stuff, isn't it? John doesn't leave us there. John wants to reassure us of who we are. In verse 20, he says, but you, if you're in this room and you're in Christ, he's speaking to you right now. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And that leads us to our final point this morning. Does the truth still abide in you? Starting at verse 24. Therefore, after everything we've learned about the world, about the deception of the Antichrist, therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. See, with the seriousness of what John has been talking about, and honestly, what is at stake in the gospel, John reminds us, you already know this stuff, beloved. You know the truth. And if you remain in it, if you abide in it, you get the ultimate promise. Eternal life. Life with God. And now John wraps all this up. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Do you believe that? You might be thinking, well, what is this truth that I already know, Pastor? That Jesus is the Christ. That He was born. That He lived under the law because we couldn't. That He went to the cross to pay for all of our sins. And He just didn't die. Okay. No, He rose again. He cleansed the grave for us. This might shock all of us in this room, but we're all going to die if Christ doesn't return. We're all going to go down into the ground. But for the Christian, that grave has been cleaned and we are going to rise from it one day. See, those are the truths you know. Those are the truths that nobody can deceive you of. And you need to abide in those truths. So you have the anointing. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. So when you read Scripture, it reaffirms the words of the gospel to you. You've been anointed by the Holy One. So you know what's counterfeit. That's what John's telling them. I don't need to teach you. You will know when this false teaching comes. Or you may have heard this before about how they train bank tellers. They give them real bills. They give them the truth all the time. So when the fake one finally does come through, they know, oh, that's fake. That's what God does with us every Sunday. Truth. Over and over and over again. That's what He does when you read your Scripture in the mornings, your devotionals, or at night, or at the dinner table with your kids. Truth, truth, truth. So when finally truth doesn't come, and one day it probably will, you go, I don't want any of that. That's not the truth. That's not what's right. When false teaching starts coming around, you'll know what's right right away. See, today I think it's easy to spot counterfeit theology. If you go to a church and the world wants to be there, there's a problem. If you show up to a church and the world fits in, there's a problem. But don't get me wrong. The gospel goes out to the whole world. For God so loved the world. See, He gives you faith. And you start to change. You start to be like Him. So does the truth abide in you? If so, we know we love Jesus. And if we have the Son, we have the Father. And if we have the Father, we have eternal life. I don't need to teach you that. You know that. And that's what John told us this morning, didn't he? That's what John taught us this morning. That if the truth abides in you, you'll have no problem seeing the deceptions of the world. And you'll want nothing to do with the world because it's passing away. Beloved, I hope that's what you want. I hope that's where you are. The Lord loves you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And He wants to teach you out of His Word. So when the world comes, you'll know, hey, I don't want any of that. I only want what Jesus wants. Let's pray. Father God,